look at the cross, you had better not ever question whether God is a God of love, because Jesus Christ, the one who made all things, loved you and loved me so much, he went to the cross and he gave his life for us.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We're joining Pastor Brian Grant again this evening as he continues his message taken from the Apostle John's futuristic vision of the risen, glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1, where Pastor Grant is explaining three declarations of faith that are made apparent by John's vision. Last week we heard how, because Jesus is the crucified, risen Savior, he has the authority and the power to set guilty sinners free from the power of sin and the grave. We invite you now to listen as Pastor Grant continues his message, The Vision of the Resurrected Christ. Here again is Pastor Grant.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to read from verse 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow of others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. I just want to clarify something, because sometimes when we go to funerals, people say the person who died went to be with Jesus and they're right now walking up and enjoying their mansions. Pull back a little. Number one, everybody doesn't go to be with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you ain't going to Jesus. But number two, even those who go to Jesus, they don't have a physical body right now. You say you thought Grandma was actually running up and down streets of gold. No. Her time is coming. But we're all going to do that at the same time. All Christians are going to walk the streets of gold at the same time. All Christians are going to get their bodies at the same time. You see, right now, when we die, every Christian goes to be with the Lord. Our souls and our spirits, our immaterial parts, go to be with Jesus, and we are enjoying bliss. You see, you don't need to have a body to enjoy the bliss of being with Jesus. Am I right about that? Because the truth of the matter is, if you chopped off my legs and my hands, I would still be enjoying Jesus. You could keep cutting me, chopping. And listen, if you took everything, I still am enjoying the bliss of being with Jesus, because once I'm saved, I'm his and he is mine. But here's what this text is saying. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Did you see it? He's going to what? Bring with him. At the time of the rapture, the souls and the spirits of those who are believers in Jesus, the Lord Jesus is going to bring them with him, because every Christian is going to get their brand new body at the same time. For this we say to you, verse 15, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. They won't go before, nor will we go before them. For verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Believers who are with Christ, they're going to get their body, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. I'm so happy, I'm so thankful that I'm going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Do you have that hope? I have a feeling not everybody really has that hope. But oh, it is our prayer today that on this Resurrection Sunday, you will come to Jesus and get the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can have that assurance you will be with Jesus. Amen.
We who are alive remain shall be caught up. We shall always be with the Lord. What a hope we have.
But listen, what we call the rapture. But at the second coming of Christ, put this on the board, Jesus will return as the conquering Christ. You know, there's a lot of wonderful, exciting, thrilling things in the Bible. But there's some harsh things. Because God is not only a God of love, God is also a God of justice. You know, he gives us an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. He gives us an opportunity to open our hearts to him. And so that he can fill our hearts and fill our lives and bless us beyond imagination. And, you know, the song says, joy, joy, joy. My heart is full of joy. And I can tell you, it is not just a song. It's an experience which God actually wants us to experience every single day. That you can sense that your heart is filled with joy because Jesus is on the inside. Is anybody experiencing the joy of the Lord? But listen. The Bible also has a lot to say about Jesus Christ, not only the Savior, but Jesus, the coming King and Judge. So add this to your notes. At the second coming of Christ, Jesus will return as the conquering Christ. Have your Bibles in the book of Revelation chapter 19. Don't worry, we're going to get you out here before noon, okay? Revelation chapter 19. I'm talking including everything, so you'll be okay. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Now I say heaven and open. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. He should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That hallelujah chorus, boy, I tell you, it's an incredible thing to go and have a recital of the Handel. We were down at that big Kimmel Center a year or so ago listening to them sing the hallelujah care. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's incredible. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what this text is pointing out, when Jesus comes, the second coming, you see, there's a rapture, but when he comes and he puts his foot on earth, there is going to be a time of judgment on those who have never bent the knee, bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what's going to happen? For sake of time, I'm just going to jump you from chapter 20 all the way over to from chapter 19 to chapter 20, verse number 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and Hades delivered of the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God that the Bible tells us and warns us. I wouldn't be saved today had it not been for warning. You remember I told you the story. I came home when I was a kid. I came home one time and the house was open. Everybody was gone. You see, I knew the Bible talks about the rapture, that Jesus is coming one day and all the Christians are going to be gone. And then anyone who wasn't saved is going to be left behind. Everybody's gone. To be honest, I was surprised that my brother Richard was gone too. Because I thought he and I were in the same boat. I thought he and I were hanging out together. You see, my other brother was more quiet than we, but we used to hang. I'm like, what has happened here? Don't mind, he's right there. He's smiling with me. But I tell you, it was a real matter. It's for real, young person. Jesus is going to come. There is a day he's coming to snatch away those who know him. And anybody who ain't saved will be left behind. I know I wasn't saved. I used to go to Sunday school. I could cite the memory verses. I knew all the stuff. It's like some of you come to all the various programs we run, but young people, but you're not really saved. Jesus isn't living in your heart. You need to deal with that today. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You better believe that week I got saved. I received Jesus Christ into my heart as my Savior. And since then, I am not worrying about being left behind. But what a tragedy if you are left behind. What a tragedy if Jesus comes and you don't know him. Listen, for those who know him, is it life eternal? It's a life of bliss. But if you don't know Jesus, it's judgment for eternal judgment. You say, why would God do that? I thought he was a loving God. Isn't that what you hear people say? Oh, I thought he was a loving God. How could he do it? Look on the cross. If you look at the cross, you had better not ever question whether God is a God of love, because Jesus Christ, the one who made all things, loved you and loved me so much, he went to the cross and he gave his life for us. We did the very worst we could to him. We hung him on a cross. We derided him. We made him walk stark naked through the city. Spat on him. Press crown of thorns on him. The creator of all things. The one who holds this world in his hand. He loved you. He loved me so much. He died for my sin. And today I'm thankful by the grace of God and by the work of his Spirit. He has brought me into knowing, into a relationship with him. And I challenge you this morning, if you don't know this Jesus, it's time to stop fooling around. Those of you who grew up in church and in Sunday school and you're still not saved, it's time. It's time to say yes to Jesus. Some people refuse to believe these verses. But my friend, oh, that God would work in your heart today. First, the vision declares Jesus as the eternal Christ and only Savior. Second, the vision declares the omniscience of Jesus. Don't worry, this part is, part two is short. The vision declares Jesus, by the way, I don't usually preach long, so you can come back next week. Brother, Dr. Thomas is speaking next week. The vision declares the omniscience of Jesus. Add this to your notes. Jesus knows all our trials, and he is able to help. Aren't you glad that there's somebody that can help you? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. What if there's anyone who has a little drama going on in your life? Jesus knows your drama. And he's able to help. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Let's read together just three verses from Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience, was on the island that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a low voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Did you notice that in those few verses, Jesus said something twice? What did he say twice? I am the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters in the Greek alphabet. And since all thought and all reasoning are expressed in words, I believe Jesus was saying that as God, he knows everything, even our thoughts. So though things may take us by surprise, nothing can take our resurrected Savior by surprise, for he's the omniscient God. Some people believe that since God is a God of love, he'd never allow Christians to pass through painful experiences. I've heard that. In fact, that teaching is spreading like wildfire as a growing number of preachers are promoting this teaching. It's just amazing that we have the audacity to teach people that once you come to Jesus, all is going to go well. You're going to have a life of good health and blessing, 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 blessing. If that's what you're looking for, don't become a part of this church. Because I guarantee you, if you come here, you're not going to only have good times. It's not going to be all the good times rolling. You remember? Let me not get off tangent again. I am surprised that people are so easily duped to believe they can name it and claim it. Or as some say, gab it and grab it. They tell you, I've heard a pastor say, God has made us the head, not the tail. You ever heard that line? Yeah. So we Christians should have no problems in life. It's not that we won't have problems. It is the fact that we have the omnipotent God on our side. So even when we have problems, we can lean on him. He's holding our hand. Well, I don't want to tell you any more of my stories. You'll have to come another time. But I can tell you some stories that he actually holds our hand. Amen. And you can sense him holding our hand. But listen, did you realize, I mean, one of the reasons we know that this teaching is baloney. Did you know that all 12 of the apostles had a difficult life? You hardly ever hear that preached. In fact, here's something you hardly ever hear preached. Did you know that 11 of the apostles were martyred? 11 of the 12 were killed for their faith. You don't hear that being preached when they tell you you can name it and claim it. 11 of the 12, apparently they didn't have the power you have to name it and claim it. Something's wrong here. And the 12th, the only one who wasn't killed is who? John, who we are studying about. And this guy, he dealt with some issues that none of us have ever dealt with. On one occasion, John was put in a vat of boiling oil. I don't know how he survived other than by the miracle of God. I mean, some of you know if a little hot oil hit you on your finger, right? Right? Much less you're in a vat of boiling oil. God miraculously saved him. You see, that's the difference. Jesus holds my hand. And then after that, he was exiled, to slave labor on this tiny little island called Patmos. Little Greek island, tiny, tiny island. Jamaica is about 100 times the size. Little Jamaica is about 100 times the size of Patmos. A little tiny island is where he was exiled. And this is where God revealed to him the book of Revelation. Let me tell you, living for Jesus is not always an easy road. Amen? For sooner or later, God is going to allow trials to come your way. But when trials come your way, always remember our omnipotent God knows all the struggles you are going through. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he is able to help. So add this to your notes. Jesus knows all our trials, and he is able to help. So what have we said so far? First, the vision declares Jesus is the eternal Christ and only Savior. Second, the vision declares the omniscience of Jesus. And third and finally, write this, the vision declares that eternal life is available only in Jesus. Verse 18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. Eternal life is available only in Jesus. My wife and I both drive German cars, both have some big keys, and I keep both my big keys for hers and mine beside each other. And so sometimes when I grab the key and jump in my car, the car refuses to start. Guess why? I grabbed the wrong key. It looked good. I don't know why they make these keys that they bore holes in your pockets, but my friend, if you want to receive God's salvation and make it to heaven, you've got to make sure you're connected to the person who has the right keys. And in this verse, it's okay to believe whatever you want to believe, but make sure you're connected to the one who says, I am he who lives and is dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. He is the only one that can let us out from the prison of sin and let us into eternal life. He's got the keys. And my friend, as I bring this message to a close, I want to ask you, whoever you are, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure that you have eternal life? Are you sure you'll spend eternity with Jesus? If you're not sure, come to Jesus today. He's got the keys. He's the one who died for your sin. He's the one who could release you from sin and set you red on a path to eternal life. Father, I pray that right now your spirit will work in hearts and that there will be those who will say, I am not sure I'm saved, but today I want to be sure. I'm so glad Jesus died for me and that he lives for me. And today I'm trusting him for my eternal salvation. Lord, work as only you can for Christ's sake. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.